streaming, recording, all at once on your every other Thursday night. It's Jazz and Jesse. I'm Jesse.
I'm Jazz.
And there's also Ethnarch. Ethnog.
Hi there.
You're never gonna shed that one. That is going to be the ghost of Christmas past. It keeps on haunting you. Ethnog.
You said eggnog. He gets so rustled with that nickname.
I know. I'm sorry. That was fantastic. Oh man. So weird couple of days. I listened to. Last night's FTN at my son's little league practice tonight. So I got in a little late. Usually here in the morning, but
oh good.
I mean,
well, I just finished listening to Tedious. Five minutes ago.
Well, there you go. Yeah. Good job. So everybody's up to date and everything. It's just funny to listen to you guys. You know, after everything that's happened, discussing the, Stephen Miller being basically rumored to be in charge of immigration now. I don't know if that's rumored or better than rumored, but that's what the word on the street is. And
that's what the media reaction is. I mean, why bloviate in that way if it's not real? But how long is it going to last? And I wonder if it's just a campaigning flex.
Like, we're going to put this out there to, like, again, another thing to, like, scare up the brown people on the Democrat side. Like, oh, look who they've got. They've got this white nationalist Jew running immigration policy now. By the way, he's a Jew. He's running it, Tucker. It's like suddenly Zionist Donald Trump has grown tired of his totally not Zionist son-in-law and has handed the reins over to the Nazi Jew boy from California, Stephen Miller. So I don't know. It's just funny. It's funny to process at this point in time from everywhere we've been. Anyway, it's Jazz and Jesse. You want to call us? It's 936-666-1488. To get on hold there's some lines open, so go ahead and do that. And I'm sorry I cut you off there. I hear you out. You were trying to jump back in. Go for it.
Couple times. So it is real. It's the question of whether or not how long is it going to last? I mean, it's real. Like, if you just heard the rumor that Stephen Miller was in charge now on immigration, then I would probably be like, yeah, this is probably to placate people into thinking that real shit's going to happen. But there are heads have rolled at DHS.
Right.
Multiple heads have rolled at DHS. And the dislodging of Christian Nielsen and then Vitiello and on down the line and the potential for Cisna to go, I mean, those are real actions. The question is what is going to be the J-left reaction from Jared, if anything? Can he do anything? I mean, as Halberstam said, I think there's going to be some sort of a showdown. But Stephen Miller has a very short period of time to prove that he is correct on the trajectory. Trump, for whatever boomer reason, trusted Kushner, let his son-in-law sort of pursue what immigration was going to be. He trusted Kirstjen Nielsen for far too long. And I think now it's kind of like, all right, Stephen, show me the fucking money. You're in complete control of this thing. You fire who you want to. We're going to do things the way that you want to do them. Yeah. And the media reaction to it and the GOPE reaction to it is where the fucking gold is. The question is can he deliver the results in a short enough period of time to satisfy Boomer Donald Trump's need to see some quote-unquote winning on something? Will it work? I don't know. If they put Kobach in at DHS secretary, even acting for a month or two while they stall the confirmation to just buy some time and get some results, maybe it's enough for Trump to be like, yeah, Jared, you're not going to fucking get back on the saddle with this thing.
Yeah.
But
I'm being so jaded after everything that's happened and most recently with the get rid of my kids, they don't know how to play the game quote. I'm just wondering, is this just game playing? You know, because I think you're right in that, you know, it's possible he was watching Kirsten on Tucker just totally just shit the bed completely.
But I think it's a nearsighted analysis that was what did it. I think this was something that had been going for a while.
I don't think so.
I mean,
so.
She had her letter of resignation
drawn up
3 months ago. Well, she had to just pull it out of her. Yeah.
But I see, we see this as a tenuous situation where this woman, you've said it yourself several times, that you know, if, two things. Trump is 95% the last person he talked to, and she learned how to, you know, feed him a bag of shit and tell him like that, that it was his recipe. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. She kind of learned how to play him. So eventually, so I think, and with the bubble, the information bubble that he's in, that if he happens to be watching Fox News that late at night, and he then he sees this, that could be the thing that goes, what am I doing with this woman? She's not. I mean, it could just be like there was a terrible appearance. I don't know. I forgot what that was. That was something else that I was pushing. Yeah. Oh, right. I was reading an article.
It was ultimately the bad press,
yeah,
of what was going on at the border and nothing being done about it. And then she showed up in the White House on Sunday night at a meeting that she requested.
Yeah.
And according to multiple people who were in attendance of the meeting, she tried yet again to pitch the president on all these great ideas, like great ideas that I have. And they both decided within a matter of minutes that the whole arrangement was no longer working, and she resigned on the spot. And then he tweeted the news before she could get her letter out, and that was the end of that.
That's pretty funny, actually.
It's funny that she tried again to do this. You know, Mr. President, I have some really good ideas on the border, and it's like, bitch, no, like enough.
Yeah,
we're done.
I mean, it could be that he's like feeling some pain and realizing where he's gone wrong, but I don't know. I don't. You know, it's gonna be a while before I trust it. But
I'm not trusting anything. I'm just sort of like,
that's why I'm thinking it's like
someone picked up the big orange bloviating snow globe and they fucking shook it really hard. We're gonna have to see where the dust settles on this.
Because
it may not settle anywhere. It may result in Stephen Miller being fired at some point.
Yeah.
Who knows? But, you know, somebody like Halberstam said, there's going to be a showdown and it's not going to end with like two guys standing.
Right.
Like, that's going to be the end of that.
Yeah. I was looking at this story on the Hill that was about Kobach being floated and basically like Senate Republicans being like, nah. But there's somewhere in here that it says that like even if he got Kobach in there, it's not like they were kind of downplaying, they're poo pooing the idea that this would really make any substantial difference.
Where is this from? Who wrote this?
It was in The Hill. I can't remember who the quote was.
The Hill is going to say, like, Kobach is going to be a bad pick. Like,
No. They're not just saying it was going to be a bad pick. They're saying we don't want it. And the quote was like, it's not like he's really actually going to be effective in that role anyway. It's not going to. Basically, they were trying to say, like, this isn't going to change laws on the books by getting this guy in there. So it's like, I don't know why. They're basically lamenting, like, why would he throw this, like, highly controversial guy at us to have, like, a confirmation fight with when he's going to lose, when he can't actually really do anything anyway?
Why were they so upset that Kirstjen Nielsen was fired then, if it's such an ineffective position? How come they're so upset about that?
Well, right, because they lost their status quo easy going.
They lost her, and then when they started to see that other heads were starting to roll, I mean, the quotes from virtually every member of the Republican Party is, Donald Trump is making our country less safe by turning DHS upside down. It's like, yeah, because they're getting rid of the people one by one who were not responding to Stephen Miller's emails. Like, they just did not respond to his emails on doing shit for 6 months, and they had enough, and that was it. Like, I mean, Kobach would have to bring in his own team. It couldn't just be other Govies.
Here it is. This wasn't a senator. This was Douglas Rivlin, communications director for America's Voice, a group that it favors giving immigrants a path to citizenship. He said, from Trump's point of view, it's all about trying to look tough for his voters. It's almost like he's casting a surrogate role for whoever he's going to put in place of DHS. And this is the quote that made me go, big thing. Even having a proven hardliner like Kobach, who is squarely in the mass deportation and opposition to legal immigration camp, it isn't going to change a lot of the constraints on the president's policies. And that was like, I was going, you know what, there may be some truth to that part of it. It's like, he's putting a guy in here, this goes like, you know, it looks good, but in the end, like, what's going to change about the border policy just by having him in there? I guess it would be, you would say that it would be administrative things that aren't sexy and don't get headlines. Jeff Sessions sort of things.
that kind of stuff. Yes, there's a lot that can be done in terms of creatively interpreting the regulations and creatively interpreting some of the provisions of like the INA, for example. So it's basically, you know, pill pull, right, for us, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And we've talked about these things before. So there's a great deal that can be done. And you know, one of the main things that has to be done is to change the mindset and the orientation of these people in USCIS, for example, right? Mm-hmm. They have to understand that their clients are not the dregs of humanity illegally crossing our border, but are the American taxpayers who pay their salaries, right?
Right.
And there are so many things that can be done. Sessions did a lot of them. We've produced, you know, list of them and posited them before. Making CBP agents able, you know, empowering them essentially to do the so-called credible fear interviews, you know, for example. All these different things can be done that would have a pretty noticeable impact. There are things that can be done, you know, talking to the Mexicans about actually allowing our people to conduct some of this stuff in their country. Right. So that these people don't, you know, they say, oh, well, we're setting up, you know, an interview center here, you know, just across the border, and you guys can all come here. And so they haven't touched dirt in the United States and, you know, do the stuff there. There's all kinds of very creative things that can be done. No question about it.
But you have to have willingness from these underlings. And CISNA, who's in charge of USCIS, was refusing to respond to any of this stuff. Moreover, Kobach comes from the DHS and Attorney General environment. And so he would know how to interface with the Attorney General's office to get a lot of this stuff done. We've said this before, is that these two offices have to work together. They have to be able to create – literally. I mean, there was an article in Breitbart the other night that basically said, if you had the will to do it, this is from Chris Kobach, catch and release can be ended instantly without Congress.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I mean, as we said on FTN, I don't like the idea of just creating infinite detention space, because this detention space is really just a queue to get into America. Mm-hmm. I mean, even though 90% of the asylums are denied, it still creates this sideshow for the media to report on. They have, I mean, if they want to create detention space to halt catch and release immediately right now, they still have to have another part of the plan that deals with cutting off the stream, because you can't just start putting up infinite FEMA trailers on the border. We're not doing that. And that's what they want to do. That's what Chris Kobach says, is reappropriate all these military bases and FEMA trailers and create infinite detention facilities and let not one person be put onto a Greyhound bus, which is good. That's a good start. But you cannot, you have
to cut off
the stream.
His heart's in the right place, right?
Yeah. His heart's in the right place. You have to cut off the stream. Mm. Because like I said on FTN, even these trailers are going to be better living conditions than the shitty shanty town. Yeah. And it's like free food and medical care. And like, let's take advantage of this shit. Oh, my child died. I'm going to sue you now. Like, get the fuck out of here. So the whole thing needs to be, you know, shut down.
Right. I know it's earlier than usual, but I want to go right to Huge, who's on hold, who wants to talk about Stephen Miller and all this stuff. So let's see what he's got here. Let's see what he can add to the conversation. Huge, hello, sir. Good to have you on.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Not much, man.
Yeah, I wanted to jump in and continue the discussion on this immigration stuff. And I'll start off by saying I'm not coming to Trump's defense. But on this one particular issue, immigration, I think this is unique because it's what Trump ran on. It's what it's bread and butter for his base. And the fact that Stephen Miller even is still involved, I think, is a great sign. Mm-hmm. Plus, you have, was it Bob Barr in AG? And he's got, I mean, Jazz Hands, I think you were talking about this on yesterday's FTN. He's got a history of setting up detainment camps of various kinds, right?
He sent AIDS-riddled Haitians to Guantanamo Bay. I have pictures of these tents that Bill Barr set up.
Given that Trump is cucking like nobody else lately, I can't imagine that he does not understand and recognize that if he even appears to be losing the battle on immigration – he's going to lose his base and he's going to lose his reelection. Now,
oh, the bottom was starting to fall out of it. I think that's partially what has driven this. Yeah.
So I think all these recent moves are stemming from the fact that he may be doing a lot of stupid shit, but I don't think he's so stupid that he is blind to the importance of immigration. And I think the fact that, you know, Kyrstjen and her border friends were resigned / fired.
Border beach friends. All my beach friends.
Border friends.
Beach friends.
All her border friends. Infinite detention friends.
I think that's a big clue.
Yeah. No, infinite catch and release friends.
Catch and release friends. I like that.
Yeah.
Reunited families and children friends.
Sorry.
This is a humanitarian disaster.
Her children and cage friends.
Yeah.
But no, I think
I don't have any children or a husband. These are like my children.
No, I think the fact that, and if you look at what's been coming out in the media, they're not trying really to minimize Stephen Miller's involvement in that, even though they've spent the past 2 years like whining and complaining that he's an evil Nazi, even though he's a Jew, right? He's like the worst person ever for immigration. But the fact that he's now involved, I mean, I know he hasn't been named, right? But he's sort of what's being paraded as the leader of policy, at least.
They have been naming him. We had the montage in FTN. I mean, they've been all over this, and it's been driven by Jared Kushner, because Jared and Ivanka both have PR publicists that go out and they fix the Kushner's bad media, but they also put media out about Miller. Miller's been named. Oh, they go after Miller hard. I mean, one of my favorite hit pieces on Miller.
But my point is, they're
one of my favorite
about him right, trying to minimize things. Yeah. I was just saying they're complaining about him. They're not trying to minimize him, right? They're like, they're accepting him for what he is and bitching about it, which I think.
Well, they're
better...
trying to demonize him because they want to get rid of him, dude.
Yeah, I don't think they're minimizing him at all. They're giving him the Steve Bannon treatment right now. Yeah. So I don't think they're minimizing.
But do you think that's going to work? Because they've been doing that forever. Like their stance on him hasn't changed really.
Yeah, but comes and goes in waves. I mean, this is another big wave in response to Kirstjen Nielsen being fired and other heads rolling. I mean, they've been quiet about it. It comes and goes. I mean, that's how things go. I mean, what I was going to say was my favorite Stephen Miller hit piece that the media has done. And they've done quite a few of like things that he did to people in fifth grade and shit like that. But the one that I really liked was that that they said that Stephen Miller derived immense satisfaction out of seeing children in cages as a part of the separation policy, and that he really enjoyed this and he was really excited and asked for photos. Like, so good. And it may or may not be true, but they just, you know, of course they project this.
Right.
Yeah. I hope it's true. I hope that's what's driving Stephen Miller, this satisfaction of seeing brown children in cages. It's really good.
Yeah, I just think that this, particularly on immigration, is a good sign. And I don't know. Trump has a long way to go before redeeming himself, but clamping down on – and what you were speaking to a little bit before I got on the line here about the cutting off the stream, I mean – obviously, I think the streams are picking up because the appearance is being given off that we're softening up. Don't you think that's just as easily reversed? Because like when Trump first came in office, there was a big downturn in the amount of people showing up at the border because
that was because they thought that their whole world had changed. And then they saw that, oh, wait a minute, though. And then the Republicans lost the House. And it's basically like, Nobody's coming in to stop this legislatively, and there's very little that they can do administratively. So that initial response was out of fear only, and then they saw it was just like, oh, taxes, come on in.
You don't think they can work the administrative channels to? I mean, you were talking about this a little bit ago.
Well, I didn't say they can't. I just said administratively.
You didn't say they do. They have the political will to do it. Are they dedicated to the? Are they dedicated to the cause to do it, right?
Well, no, so what I'm saying is that the legislative solution was going to what they thought, people that were down in these shitholes, coming here, they thought that the legislative solution was going to be so far reaching and so pervasive that they might as well not even bother coming. That window has now closed. Mm-hmm. And so it's like the administrative thing. There may be, I mean, that's why child separation works so well. It's such a great deterrent.
Yeah, I was gonna
they need
say
to come
that.
Up with more creative policy like that.
That was my.
There is an article that shows that the price that the coyotes are charging has gone up recently. Things like that are positive signs. You can't read too much into it, but I thought that was kind of interesting.
Yep.
Supply and demand, right? But Ethnoc, you might chime in here. So the courts just struck down the detaining them on the Mexican side of the border, I believe, was the specific one they struck down. What do you think the realistic possibility of Trump/DHS just defying all these stupid court orders that are clearly seditious and just sort of, you know, the child detainment, the detaining on the Mexico side, all the stuff that the courts have been striking down in regards to immigration. I mean, at what point do you start defying that? Is there a realistic possibility of that ever happening? Is it just not going to happen?
Yeah, so this is again the Jacksonian moment stuff, right? We originally were thinking that would come. But it hasn't yet. It still may. But right now, they're already appealing that decision. And when I took a look, I read through the judge's ruling, and the judge's ruling is it's very, very sloppy. It's entirely subjective. Mm-hmm. The judge doesn't even deny that DHS has the right to enforce this wait in Mexico policy. He concedes that they do. What he is saying is that these poor people may be endangered by making them stay in Mexico. Right. That is the entire. Yeah, exactly. That's the entire crux of the argument. And, you know, there's some treaty stuff, but I feel fairly confident that that is going to be reversed on appeal. It may not even make it out of the D.C. Circuit Court of Appeals, quite frankly, because it's so egregious. Now, that being said, the administration's lawyers, they were sloppy. I'm not a lawyer, but I could have made much more effective arguments than they did. And so hopefully if we're seeing a true change in tone here and a new attitude, they'll tighten up the lawyering as well. But will we get to that Jacksonian moment? I don't know. I don't think that Trump can afford to have the appearance of the country collapsing around his ears and be reelected. And that is the guy's number one concern. So I think that we're quite a ways away from that.
And the other thing I'll point out.
Yeah, it's his number one issue.
Number one issue is immigration, right? Like that's those things I think are joined at the hip and can't really be separated.
Right. Well, yeah, and the other thing to keep in mind too is that the president has not just the power but the responsibility to protect the integrity of the country.
Yeah.
And very specifically Article 4, Section 4 of the Constitution. And the way that the law works is you have local law, you have state law, you have federal law, then you have the Constitution. Okay. And so, I mean, there's a lot of runway to still be taken up before we really look at extra legal types of things. And I'll shut up now, but I hope that answers your question.
I think that's good. I don't. What's up?
I was asking, is the huge satisfied?
Yeah. No, I don't know. Everyone's so black-pilled on Trump, but I think on this particular issue, there's still a lot of room to work, especially now that Wilson is gone.
I mean, like we said, this is a victory. I mean, when you understand what's going on inside the administration through the lens of Kushner Inc., this was a total defeat of Jared Kushner on this issue. Does that mean that a week from now, Jared's not going to succeed on something else? Maybe. He might not. It depends. He's been giving a very long piece of rope on immigration, and this was a watershed moment. What will happen tomorrow? We don't know. But the fact of the matter is, like I said at the beginning, if there was only a rumor going around that, oh, Stephen Miller's in charge now, Jared's not, I would want to see action. Well, we've gotten some action. Now I want to see things change down on the border. You know, I'm not going to hold my breath. That's kind of my mm-hmm. position on it. So, and the more difficult the more difficult it becomes for Trump to get reelected, the more likely he is to do more on these issues. And I think his reaction to the base being pissed off, is a good thing. That's why plan trusting is bad no matter what, because if you're the president, you're sitting in the White House and nothing out there with your base is on fire, what's going to keep your focus? Not that. But if the shit's burning down, which clearly was the message, I mean, I think he should apologize to Ann Coulter, actually, because she's right. He's wrong.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
it would
be nice to see that fence mended. Yeah, yeah. No, I will say, like, unless things turn around with immigration, his reelection chances are, you know, quickly disappearing.
Well, now, that's the problem. Well, hold on. That's
actually wants to be.
That's the problem, and we made this case on FTN as well, is because the Democrats – this is the double-edged sword. Like, we love that the Democrats are insane and going far to the left. We love that. It's great because it's lots of lulls. It's lots of schadenfreude. It's really a lot of fun to watch what they're doing, especially when they call out Jews. But the double-edged sword of that is that it allows someone on the right, like Trump, to be comfortable. He doesn't have to be competitive for those votes. He can say, look at these people. They're totally fucking insane. They're totally unhinged. They're totally nuts. And I'm just being in the middle. I'm a centrist guy. I like people. Black unemployment stats. Hurrah. But if he actually had to compete for Midwestern white votes, especially on immigration, I said this. If one of these candidates from the Democratic Party came out and started being actually competitive on immigration and running to the right on that issue, they're afraid to do it. But then you'd have Trump being like, oh, shit, because he can't afford to lose any of those votes in the Midwest. He's gunning for Michigan and Wisconsin and all these states again. But, that's the downside of Dems being so shitty. But the fact that we get to have, the culture war, I wouldn't really trade it. So
one thing that you and Halberstam had predicted, Jazzhands, was that Mitt Romney has actually been making some noises this past week, and of course he's not coming out, firmly and strong in favor of a strong border and national security, but he's been making some comments to the effect that there has to be order in the immigration system and stuff like that. And one of the things that you and Halberstam were talking about 6 or 7 months ago, if I recall, was that there was a possibility that Mitt might test the waters to see if he could all of a sudden paint himself as being strong on immigration and try to use that as a lever for himself, and who knows if he'll follow through on it. But I thought that was kind of prophetic.
I can make the prediction right now 100% that Mitt Romney is never going to follow through on anything that he ever says. Will he use it as a tool as to drive a wedge with Trump? Absolutely, because he's not a moron. So. Right.
Well, cool. But the all question right. is, are people going to buy it? And I don't know if people will buy that.
No.
Coming from them.
Never.
In order for it to be a wedge, people have to consider it credible, right?
Yeah.
If it's not credible, it's not a wedge.
Yeah. Mm. All right, Huge. I'm going to let you
go.
I
got one last quick
thing. Oh, Jesus. You've been on the phone for 15 God. Minutes. Come on, buddy. Let somebody else in. Thank you for the call,
I'm not going to talk about
it. No, we're having rules tonight.
Oh, shit.
15. He had you for 15 minutes. People, I get this complaint all the time. Oh, you didn't take my call. You let that guy in for half an hour. It's like, come on.
True. Yeah, the one more thing guy, that's all right. We'll talk to you again. Call in again. That was
call in again. Call in next or in 2 weeks, because next week is somebody else's show. Or, I don't know. Call Mike.
Call Mike.
Call Mike. Mike and a Mad Wop. It's a good show, too. So I got distracted for a minute later. What are you guys talking about? What's going on? I'm being a dick. I'm sorry.
Were you like resizing your browser and messing around with like buttons on your computer and stuff?
Always. So I don't know. Let's go.
Jiggling mouse buttons.
Let's see what DeMarcus has got. He wants to ban Mike. He wants to ban Mike, who's not here to defend himself. I'm always a fan of that. So
that's not nice. I don't really like that.
The problem is Mike's not listening either, so it won't go anywhere. DeMarcus, how you doing, buddy? You're on.
Hi, friends.
Hi, friend.
Hey, catch and release, friends.
Are we friends?
Of course we're friends.
We are friends.
That was very
well. I'm just so used to him like breaking the ice with like, oh, yo, Manu, not the like clear throated.
You retired that?
You're tired of that shtick? Yeah.
It gets tired. And once the time when I was at some alt right party and somebody gave me like a 5% African knowledge book like as a gift, I was like, all right, this has gone a bit too far now. I had enough.
Is that a one pager?
No, it was like the supreme black mathematics, like 5% black mathematics. It was like some like black supremacy book. I was like, all right, enough. I've had enough. But
that's the math that says like,
anyway, guys,
80% of your income is actually mine, Whitey Gibbs. That's the black nationalist math. Wasn't that funny?
I didn't read it. I hope that doesn't break the heart of the gentleman who gave it to me, but.
It's the thought that counts.
Like, oh, that's funny. I'll just, yeah.
You know what? You just told the story. You told the story of a gift you received on this show live. So that is like just as good as having read it cover to cover like 14 times, right? Like it had like everybody like it's the thought that counts. So everybody's happy now. But anyway, so what do you got here? It says you got some quiet pills on immigration and the left losing their mind.
Well, no, I got to attack. I got to attack our mutual friend Mike first.
Oh, you want to do that first? Okay.
I have a scandalous scoop for the audience and for Mike Delaney, actually. For those of you who don't know, Mike Delaney is the guy that takes out of context clips of Michael saying, like, other Jews, which is funny because he's also said other blacks. You know, that kind
yeah,
of
that was a good one.
Is actually pretty common. But
that one's more believable.
No,
Yeah, where am I going to leave this? Where am I going to leave this Wendy's wrapper? Oh, just right here. That's fine.
Yeah, you know, I shouldn't have actually said anything about Mike saying other blacks. Now Mike Delaney's going to like claim Mike is a black.
Probably
you
know, would.
I wouldn't put it past him. But actually, the truth is much worse. I found out who Michael's co-pilot was on his cross-country road trip.
Oh,
this is going to be shocking to the audience.
All right.
But Michael was actually touring the country with none other than Tree of Logic.
Wow.
And I have it on good authority that unlike when I'm giving him a ride, he left no food wrappers or crumbs in the Winnebago or whatever vehicle they were using.
So was this before was this before or after they landed on the moon?
No. Are you calling me a liar, Jazz?
What
are you trying to say?
I think it's a myth that there was a Winnebago that was free of food wrappers and empty ranch bottles. I just don't buy that narrative.
I have it on good authority, so I think it's true. So apparently it takes a black dominatrix to keep Michael in line.
Yikes.
So
Jesus.
You might want to keep that
blacks.
In
mind. Other blacks.
It takes other black dominatrixes. Oh, that's good. Well, it's a Winnebago.
Other ranch dressing lovers.
Ugh, I don't even like ranch.
You guys like how I call him Michael instead of Mike, sort of like how a grade school teacher would say your full first name to like chide you or whatever.
Yeah, because you know he's like he's in trouble, so it's like good. Michael, whose
Michael
rapper
Arthur
is this? Michael,
Pinovich, or whatever his middle name is.
Oh shit.
Okay. Funny. So anyway, I have some exciting news for you guys.
Yes.
Oh, great.
Lay it on us.
Serve it on up.
I'm talking about a game changer here. I just read a headline, and it appears we were wrong about Trump because the White House is considering restricting remittances to Mexico to stop illegal immigration.
Oh, really?
Amazing. Incredible. Yeah, this is the one, guys.
Is this the article? Then you click the article and open it up because somebody posted it in your timeline on Facebook, and you see the date is like October 2016.
Well, I'm just gonna.
No, this is from the very reputable Epoch Times, which I've never heard of
before. Ah, yeah, it's a good one. I know that.
This is the final. This is the final piece of the. Of the 4D chess. It's like many maneuvers of many years later, you know, he's sort of like Paul Muad'Dib. He can like see the future. And this is it. Now Trump, now we're going to see campaign Trump back on the, doing his thing, man. This is what we've been waiting for.
A senior administration official told reporters on April 10, the plan would restrict remittances from the United States in order to discourage migrants. The move is part of a broader plan targeting migrants who cross the border illegally to claim asylum. The vast majority of asylum claims are rejected, but loopholes in the immigration laws result in many of the migrants being released into the interior with work permits as they wait adjudication of their claims. Okay.
But don't worry. According to beincrypto.com, they're saying that it would not apply to crypto. So.
Yeah, I'm looking for...
No, but actually,
there's no news here. They have an anonymous source said this, and then there's a bunch of stuff about Kobach and a bunch of stuff of what migrants
Kobach's
are.
Kobach's been talking about this for a while. Yeah. This is one of his, his signature things.
I mean, it certainly would be great. It's certainly one of the things that we were disappointed about when it got shelved by Steve Mnuchin, like almost immediately, because of all the shekels that would stop flowing. But yeah, it would be great. I mean, to start putting this kind of pressure, but. I'm not holding my breath.
This is Ivan Pentukov.
Well, it's a plan. They're considering it. This is big, big news.
Big news.
But no, I actually had some like non just pulling your chain.
Well, just before we go any further, hold on. I just want to stop for a second because as you said that, I went to the president's Twitter timeline to see if the policy prognostication had been made here, and I don't see one. Just. At the top of the feed, jobless claims at 50-year low. Like, yeah, can't have that. Let's get some more H-2Bs in here. And well, I guess they won't be jobless when they get here. I guess. Well, other people would be jobless, right? Add a few more of those on. See who else we can get in here while jobless claims.
Well, no, they go immediately from being jobless to being so amazingly obese that they need a scooter to get around, or just to. Fucked up in other ways to actually be searching for a job. So,
well, speaking of 4D chess, did you see that Mitch McConnell went out and said to Trump, "Don't pick Cuccinelli to lead DHS." It's like, don't you dare eat that cupcake, Donald. Don't you dare eat that cupcake. It's like, and so Donald goes and like, I want Ken Cuccinelli because Mitch McConnell doesn't want me to have him. It's like. Dude, Ken Cuccinelli would be the worst fucking choice ever. I don't know why. I don't know why McConnell actually doesn't like him, but. It's kind of funny that he's doing this.
That is pretty funny.
Hello?
Go ahead. Guy says hello.
No, I love
it. Guy says hello. Just talk. Talk. You're on the radio. Hello?
That was the best Trigger Jazz Hands I've heard in a long time.
Guy says hello.
Like.
I'm sorry.
Hey, guy.
That was
say
my
hello.
Fault, guys. I
just start fucking talking, all right, guy?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, Jazz Hands? You hear what J.O. just said? Now you got to fight J.O.
You have to fight J.O. He has to listen to J.O. You like, won't accept,
have to listen to him.
He said, we'll accept J.O.'s explanation. He accidentally muted him. Okay. It was
I
still good.
J.O.
Oh,
as my champion.
Is that what happened?
He accidentally muted him. That's good, though.
Is J.O. resizing his browser window and jiggling mouse buttons, too, over there?
He's trying to hang up on Huge
That's
again. He keeps calling
habits.
Back in. He's mad at me. No. So, DeMarcus, you said you had some stuff that wasn't pulling our chain. What do you got for the great listening audience of Jazz and Jesse and Ethnark and J.O.?
Well, the whole, elite consensus, I think, is falling apart because there was a New York Times editorial recently, and, yeah, it was blaming Trump for it, but it says that the immigration system may have reached a breaking point. Mm-hmm. You also have riots at Mexican immigration stations that are, these migrants are there, burning documents. And just recently, Prime Minister Justin Trudeau enacted some, changes to asylum laws to prevent them from making a refugee claim if they've made a similar claim in a certain other country, which of course, would include the U.S. So it's an obvious reaction to this surge of stumpy Aztec brownlings with short chubby digits for fingers, claiming refugee status in America. So he doesn't want them fucking coming there. And I just see this whole thing, the whole elite consensus is the reality of the world is just too much for this hostile elite to grapple with, increasingly, Beto O'Rourke, he's called.
They're very racist. They're very black-pilled on the West's reaction to migration, and they don't know what to do about it. It's a genuine concern because they really want to push the pedal to the fucking floor, but that's what happens, Larry. You get more white nationalism. And if they slow down the migration, then you get the sort of momentum for putting in place policies that prevent more of it from happening. So they genuinely do not know what to do because they don't want more white nationalism, and they don't want to stop their plan with the white displacement. But they're having a problem because the surge, you know, at our southern border is starting to rack up a lot of the similar results that Europe has. And Europe is about to get the shit smacked out of it in these elections in May.
Europe has already won. So,
yeah.
Like, our victory in Europe is fucking inevitable. And, like, I think this all this shit kind of, like, buttresses this long-term, like, white pill outlook that I have, like, that the elite consensus cannot handle, like, all these combined threats. Like, A, you got the various constituencies of the left just eating each other alive. You're going to see that circular firing squad, like, in the Democratic primary. You got B, you got the fact that AI, you got outsourcing, automation, roboticization, it's going to create, and this is my predictions, could create a job crunch that virtually the entire population of America, minorities included, will react by demanding an end to immigration and maybe even deportations or even possibly expulsions. And most of all, you know, just the fact that historic events that are completely outside of our control will force whites to consolidate and sort of like circle the wagons. And I think that's undeniable because I've talked to like hundreds and hundreds of our guys over the years about this. And the red pilling events, the 9/11, the Iraq War, Ron Paul Revolution, Trayvon, BLM, fucking Ferguson, the migrant crisis, Trump's 2016 campaign, entirely outside of our control and also impossible to fucking grapple with for our hostile elite because this shit is just going to fucking pick up. And it's just they just can't fucking handle it. And the more shit you got to put in place to like correct for these things, the more complicated the system gets, and the more complicated the system gets, the one thing goes wrong and the whole fucking thing collapses. So I just hope. Go ahead.
Jews are now pushing this idea of creation of a global middle class. And that this creation of a global middle class with 100 million, this is the quote I've heard, 100 million new consumers that cross the poverty line into having disposable income every year or something like that. This is what they're pushing for. And they're selling it to people as this going to be this, it's going to lead to this economic sonic boom. And the only thing that can stop everyone from getting filthy fucking rich is authoritarianism. This is a new meme that they're pushing. It's like, you're all going to be wealthy. Just enjoy the multiculturalism. Everybody's going to be rich as fuck. And the only people that are going to prevent you from being rich as fuck are the people who are resisting this. And that's like the new meme. It's very insidious, very subversive.
Bro, if we have projected to have like 10, 11 billion people in this world like 50 years from now, we're not going to fucking have this like fucking global gayplex free market shit anymore. It's going to be fucking mercantilism. It's going to be like, how much iron can my fucking country procure by going to war with this other country? Like, this is
It's going to get very ugly over the resource crunch and the job crunch as well. But the resources running out is something that's going to be pretty bad too. And then also who can extract the resources from countries that are unable to? That's why you see Venezuela heating up in the way that it is. You have countries that have the technological capability to extract those resources fighting over control of countries that can't because of their shitty brown populations or their just, you know, backwardness, generally speaking.
That's what China's doing in Africa. Yep.
Yep. Yep.
But that job crunch is coming first. Mark my words. Could be 10, could be 15, could be 20 years from now. But I'm telling you, not just whites, everybody in this fucking country, you can be like, no more fucking immigration. Guarantee it.
Yeah, because they can't predict how rapidly automation is going to come. Because the innovation and the more you build machine learning into the frame, the more rapid this sort of takes off, and they just can't predict the displacement, and they have no solution for it. That's why nobody's talking about it. But thanks for calling in.
If young men can't, well, I have one more thing, but I'm not actually. I'm not going to find that amusing.
This guy's going 17 minutes.
I'm
going to
talk.
This isn't very fair.
Sven, and you're going to hang up. All right. So just Sven, yeah. Please, one more second. Please, just hold on. No, please, don't hang up on me.
The thing was really slow. It let him get that whole sentence out before it actually hung up on him.
You hung up on him?
Didn't he just tell me
oh
to?
My God.
I thought that was the bit. I thought he was setting me up to do
he
it.
He said, give me four more seconds. I have one more thing. Don't do the blah, blah, blah. And then you just hung
up
on him.
Yeah, but I mean, like, he kept saying different iterations of I have one more thing. Don't hang up. I think that was the bit.
Oh, okay.
I think I was picking up what he was putting down a little bit.
It was
there.
A great call, though.
It was very good. It was very good.
Yeah.
Good call. DeMarcus, always a good call. Let's see. Let's congratulate KS Keats real quick before we move on to anything else while we're having a chuckle. KS Keats, congratulations.
Who this?
You know KS
yes,
Keats.
Hello, gentlemen. Thank you very much for having me on and here in the oven safe.
Absolutely.
I wanted to you know, add on a few little white pills that as of the Monday that, you know, Kirstjen Nielsen was given the boot. That I welcomed in two new white babies into this world.
Beautiful.
So.
Congratulations,
so,
sir.
I'm riding pretty high with that. They're doing well. They came a little early, so they still got some growing to do, but they'll be out of the hospital in the midst. They'll be out of the hospital soon.
That's great,
and,
man.
You know, we're gonna win this. We're not giving up. We're not going quietly into that night, and we're gonna be raising the next generation.
That's
to
right,
be
baby.
Even harder than we are.
Right on, man.
And so, I just want to put that out there. More white babies, man. Beautiful.
Absolutely. Congratulations to you and your family. That's great news. Very happy for you. And keep them coming. Right? Why not?
Yeah, that's the plan. That's something they kept on asking my wife as they were prepping her for the cesarean. Like, are we doing a tubal? Are we doing the, you know, if they give them the tube ties? They
you don't have any more, do you?
They were pushing that. And it's like, dude, no. If anybody's, you know, gonna be,
yeah, right,
gonna be hanging up the, hanging,
it's like,
you know, throwing in the towel there, I'll take care of that myself.
It's like, oh, Mrs. Keats, well, you want us to tie your tubes while they're in there? Do you want us to circumcise them before we take them out of your belly? What else can we do to these babies? Let's vaccinate them. No, I guess we're pro-vax now because of the Jews are anti-vax. So that was a bad joke. I'm sorry.
Well, and yeah. The autism. You know, we give them the autism.
Yeah, we like the autism.
They become even more powerful.
That's right. Right, yeah. On, man.
My wife was talking about the vaccines and something with the flu vaccine. I was like, what? Why are people refusing that? Like, they, even the normies, they have no reason to do that. That's not the autism one. I mean, I love them. I want as many vaccines as I can. I'm going to go get a second round of the Tdap just for
yeah, right.
Bagels.
You know what? I want the tetanus one. I used to get if you get tetanus like every 5 years, you can't get tetanus. Like, that's like a superpower. You can like step on fucking nails and not die. You'll just, you know, bleed. It's fine.
Yeah.
Anyway.
As well, but on that note, I got to get going because I've had my oldest, the phrase I'm going to have to get used to saying, I've had her past her bedtime, have her watch some commentaries while I'm
right on.
Told. I'm like, hey, you want to watch cartoons? Watch Mario's show.
Yeah, sure.
Be quiet. And he's on the phone.
Right on. But one more thing.
Y'all have a wonderful evening, gentlemen.
Wait, one more thing. Yep. One more thing. There, I hung up on him. I turned the tables. Congratulations to KS Keith. That's great
news.
Yeah,
congrats. Big congrats.
That is awesome.
Yep.
So what else is going on, boys?
Julian Assange was arrested in London.
I saw that. So much for the Ecuadorian embassy. That's enough of
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
So, response to that has been, Julian Assange, who's that? From Mr. Bormf, right? So that was basically, he is the Russian collusion, correct? I mean, that's basically what
yes.
it boils down to. He
I mean,
is
that's,
the Russian
that's
collusion.
The,
he is the only reason that Trump was able to win. That's what I'm seeing out there. Only one.
Yeah, I mean, I remember, you know, anticipating the various WikiLeaks dumps, and they were fucking fantastic. But yeah, I mean, that's what they say, is that this intelligence was given to Julian Assange by the Russians to help Trump, and there was collusion through Roger Stone, and that's the whole bit, I guess. So
Julian ate everything with his hands, and he always wiped his fingers on his pants. I have never seen pants as greasy as his in my whole life.
Who says this? Who's saying this?
Daniel Domscheitberg, a former aide. according to the International Business Times. Like, that is some, that's some relevant fucking info right there. It's like, here's a guy, here's a guy that's blown the whistle on how much shit that the evil governments were up to, evil people. And that's wow. Described, Bill Keller, a former executive of the New York Times who met with Assange in 2011, described him as looking like a bag lady walking in off the street. He said he smelled as if he hadn't bathed for days.
Gross.
Jesus Christ.
Oh. He's like the preeminent neat, isn't he?
Yes, so.
I mean, like, literally, he's like living in the Ecuadorian basement.
In the Ecuadorian basement.
He's living in the basement of his of Ecuador.
He couldn't even get into a good Mexican country. I got to say, like, if not for all the blackmailing lately, that like Trump blocks something from six Mexican countries was like one of the funniest things I ever saw. Yeah. If it was like last year, that would have been fucking like the funniest thing ever. But
I just picture Julian Assange in the basement of the Ecuadorian embassy eating tendies and like wiping his greasy paws on his hands,
on his pants, and, yeah.
On his like khaki pants and just these big like hand smears like on the legs.
They're claiming that's not all he was wiping.
Oh boy,
is this a joke or is that something else?
Exactly.
They tolerated things like Assange putting feces on the embassy walls and other behaviors far from the minimum respect that guests can have. Wait, where is that coming? Is that in the same Daily Caller article?
Yeah.
I didn't even see
who knows that. If it's true, but I didn't write the article. I'm just putting it out there.
Oh, you're right. That's third paragraph. That's insane. Wow. This guy's going to kill him. He's going to die. He's going to be like, hey, you shit smearing, pants wiping, smelly whistleblower who ruined Hillary. You die.
I think they're gonna sentence him to death by Hillary Clinton sitting on his face.
Yeah.
I'm gonna
die just thinking about it.
just suffocating him with her fucking beef drapes.
Ah, there is nothing. I gotta say, I've been thinking about this lately. For some reason, the thing in this world that triggers me the most is sexually explicit jazz hands. For some reason. You know, like, FNARC has the thing where he doesn't want you to swear on FTN. He wants you to keep it clean and family-friendly so it could be, like, more legit and reach a wider audience. I don't mind you saying, like, fuck shit and all this other stuff. It's when you say something, like, I don't know. When you say something along
beef
the lines.
Drapes.
Yes! Or, like, I bet they, like, fuck each other's wives, dude. Like, when you're talking about, like, these, and what was the other one? Oh, every time you talk about Trump, every time you say, they can smell the pussy from thousands of miles away. I'm like, oh, God! Stop it, jazz hands! I don't know. For some reason, it doesn't work for me when you talk like that.
It's not my fault that Donald Trump has poor vaginal hygiene.
I mean, I cringe so hard every time you do it. But it's in a good way. I guess you just got to keep doing it. But it's for some reason I'm never prepared for you to talk that way when you do.
Are you surprised that President Sissy has a smelly pussy?
Thank you, Michael Jackson.
I'm just never prepared for you to like put it in such terms.
I don't know.
I don't know
just,
why.
I just say it like it is, man. That's what it is, you know?
You do.
I think, you know, Hillary Clinton, I just thought in my head that, you know, it would be Hillary Clinton wants justice on Assange. I mean, it was Obama that denied her the White House the first time, and this time was her time, and this time it was this guy living in the Ecuadorian embassy wiping his tendy hands on his pants, like, you know, putting her fucking John Podesta Z. I mean, Assange is responsible for the Pizzagate shit, too. Yeah. I mean, all of that stuff came out of those emails.
The thing that's the most triggering about their, like, hate boner for Julian Assange is, like there was a very simple way to avoid getting Julian Assanged. Was like not be doing all this awful stuff, right? It's like the same goes for the
neocons. Because remember, Assange used to be anti-right, and you know he was smeared by Republicans because he was pointing out all the egregious things that the neocons and the military-industrial complex had done. He's really pissed. Well, he's pissed off all the people that I'm glad he has pissed off.
Right.
So
he's basically pissed off the establishment.
He's basically just
both sides of it.
Yeah. Go ahead. Sorry.
I was just going to, he's pissed off the establishment, both sides of it. He's blown the whistle on just like every nefarious plot that like either just like prolongs like the master blaster reign of, you know, the Israeli brain and the American brawn empire around the world, and just
he took the kosher sandwich and put it directly into the fucking wood chipper, the whole thing, top and bottom bun,
and so he has to go. It's amazing he's lasted this long, I guess.
Well, but see, here's the thing: if he was truly a Russian asset, then he would be inside Russia right now.
Right. That's just more of their fair. Yeah. Oh wait, no, I'm sorry. Let me get the line right. if he's truly right, that's the irresponsible misreporting by the media who will never be held accountable for getting it so wrong. I'm sorry. Did I do that right? That's how it goes, right?
Yeah, I think so.
That's how that goes, right? This wasn't a plot. This wasn't politics. This was just so irresponsible. This guy is so wrong. I can't believe how mistaken they were. They're not even going to apologize for making this big mistake. God, it's terrible.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of wonder if this article from the Daily Caller, because they quote the Ecuadorian president saying that Assange mistreated the embassy guards and was discourteous and aggressive. The patience of Ecuador has reached its limit on the behavior of Assange. This is the president of Ecuador. So these just seem like all excuses. Like, I think they're probably smearing Assange. Maybe he wipes his tendy hands on his pants, but smearing feces on the wall and all this other shit, it's like, probably not. This is just an excuse for this, for the president of Ecuador, just to basically dump this guy into the hands of fucking Globo Homo Zog to fucking put him in solitary for the rest of his life, if not worse. So they can just say, oh yeah, well, he was smearing feces all over our embassy. Yeah, sure, guy. Like a bag lady walking down the street. I'm sure none of these things are true.
Oh my God.
It's all bullshit. Yeah. That's my guess. They want to come up with a reason. Like, he wasn't a good guest, so we had to kick him out.
Or they can claim that he was mentally unbalanced and needed treatment, or, you know, whatever lie they want to tell, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, he needs treatment by being extradited and put into jail in a country that regards him as a fucking, like, some kind of subversive traitor.
This is something that I am convinced that Donald Trump will do the wrong thing, even though Donald Trump out owes this guy big time. I don't think that he will ever buck the establishment with regards to Assange.
Yeah, but I mean, dude, we just got done saying that it's the whole linchpin in the Russian collusion thing. What do you think Donald Trump's going to – maybe in the very end he could pardon him. But he so far hasn't pardoned Manafort. He hasn't pardoned Michael Flynn. He hasn't pardoned anybody. So why would he go stick his neck out there for Julian Assange, which is the linchpin of the entire fucking collusion shit? Like, I don't know why. Like, because Manafort didn't do collusion. Michael Flynn didn't do collusion, so Trump's going to go out and what's the right thing? Go out and give him a pardon? He certainly can't, as president, in the meantime, like, go out there and do something for Assange. I'm sorry, like, I don't know what is that going to do for him?
Are they even going to bring him here? Like, where is he being shipped to now? I know that I read today that the
extradited to Britain in order to face a computer hacking charge in the U.S. is what I've
read. It is to face his charge in the U.S. Okay, yeah, he should. I mean, I don't know. If our avatar of white supremacy, revolutionary, swamp-draining hero president who is here to destroy the establishment and create like a thousand-year reign of, I don't know, normal people again, I mean, he should pardon this guy as an American hero, a whistleblower who uncovered like one of the biggest, most corrupt, you know, political entities in the history of the country. I mean, he didn't do anything. I don't know. It's kind of like, how do I phrase this? A long time ago, I read Robert Bork's book, The Slouching Towards Gomorrah, and it's been a while, so it's a little fuzzy, but I remember a big thrust of portions of that book being about rights of the accused being elevated higher than the priority to actually like punish people for doing crimes and make things right. And it's just kind of like, you know, you talk about evidence that's like fruit of the poison tree and this and that. And like, logically, if you have that sort of mentality about law enforcement, then okay, Julian Assange probably engaged in something illegal or he received this data that was acquired illegally. But I mean, how I don't care if it's fruit of the poison tree because of what it exposed. Like both times when he did it, the two major leaks that he did that we all know about, you know, in the earlier on ones with the neocons and then these more recent ones. It's like anybody with common sense is like, you know what, this guy's a fucking hero and he doesn't deserve to be put through the ringer because our laws, you know, state these things about, because basically the laws are just being used to protect the corrupt and the evil from their comeuppance. And I just say, fuck that. I don't know. It's kind of like, I don't want to make another allusion to The Wire, but I was sitting there watching The Wire. I was like, you know what? I wish the cops could just kill these drug dealers. Who cares about the wiretap and the charge? Like, you know, he's doing it. Fuck it. You know, it's a childish, stupid thing that, like, believe me, it probably wouldn't work out well if law enforcement just let it do that to whoever they felt like was guilty. But it's just that kind of thought, you know? And the president being, like, the one man in the country that really has the power to say, you know what? Fuck the system. This is what's right. And he would be right to do so. And I think it would be another one of these things that everybody would advise him not to do it, but everybody in the country that likes him or that leans towards common sense and truth and isn't a fucking, like, cat lady Jew shill would cheer and would appreciate it. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, now that the probe is over, even Tucker has said a number of times it's incumbent on the president to pardon Paul, and this is before Assange even came into the news. It's incumbent upon the president. I remember sitting there watching Tucker say this. It's coming upon the president to do the right thing and pardon Paul Manafort and pardon Michael Flynn and pardon anybody who was wrongfully accused in this fraud of a fucking probe. And he should do it unilaterally.
Yep.
Anybody, he should pardon Roger Stone. He should pardon every single person that has been pulled up into this probe except for Jared Kushner. Don't pardon Jared Kushner. And then it should be fine. But no, he should. And he should put them all together in one big batch of pardons and say, fuck it. These people did nothing wrong. I didn't do anything wrong.
Yeah.
We're fucking moving forward. The end. You got a fucking problem with it? Come at me at the ballot box.
But the president is content to have his supporters in jail. So why wouldn't he have his, the guys who work for him in jail over there? I mean, this whole, everything's a witch hunt. Everything's a witch hunt, but I'm just going to sit here twiddling my fucking thumbs and Mr. Magoo my way into reelection, I hope. And oops. Oh God, this border stuff's not working out. Let me see if I can get Stephen Miller to be the figurehead of it for a few months and see where that goes. See if that'll win anybody back. It's just yeah. Anyway, let's see. There's some. You want to do some ethnarch content? We got an ethnarch question holding on the line.
Oh, let's do some ethnarch content. Yeah.
Fashy Front Hall. Fashy Front Hall has some stuff for ethnarch. Give it to us, brother.
Yep.
Shalom, gentlemen. Shalom. I think I'm going to flip the script a little bit, and I'll start off with my one last thing at the beginning.
Okay, yeah, that'll
work. So one last thing on this final countdown. I've yet to hear any Hoobit tank, and, you know, it's making me question my paywall account, so just something to keep in mind. There's a lot of starved Hoobit tank fans out there that need that.
Hoobit tank. I remember the name. I don't even remember what they did back then. Just one of those 90s bands.
To clarify, that was a joke. Don't even bother listening to them. It's, it's kind of annoying, but still catchy. but anyway, specifically, I had a big brain question that I think Ethnarch might be able to tackle pretty well. So recently, in the past couple of weeks, the Treasury yield curve has been inverted. And, you know, typically China is a huge purchaser of the American Treasury notes. And I'm wondering if, you know, this is China essentially like easing up on purchasing those Treasury notes as a way of trying to, you know, get some sanctions pressure off. And I don't know, will Trump cuck to it?
Yeah, so China are, of course, number one consumers of the Treasury debt. And this has been, you know, something that people have talked about for a long time, that this is, you know, the fiscal nuke that China could use to cause problems for the U.S. government by deciding that they're not going to purchase these bonds, they're not going to consume these bonds anymore. Here's the thing, though. The U.S. Treasury, for all the problems and issues that we have, the U.S. Treasury debt is the highest quality debt in the world. And if the Chinese have decided to do something as a direct challenge to the Trump administration, I think that it would be more dramatic. It wouldn't be an easing off, number one. And number two, once they – if they decide to dump the treasuries that they have, and that's the real nuclear weapon, right? It's a one and done kind of thing, right? You know, they use it and then they lose it. And I could be wrong. I'm not an economist, but I believe that there are enough other people willing to enough entities willing to consume that high quality debt that in the longer term, it's not going to make a huge difference. I don't believe that China could crash the U.S. economy, as some people argued, if they dump these things. I believe that China is in a very, very difficult situation right now with regards to, you know, all of these loans that they've had to write off that were made essentially, you know, as corrupt bribes, and all the, you know, the hundreds and thousands of vacant condos and apartments that are sitting there empty. They have a big crunch coming, and I think that they are trying to look for ways to economize because they fear some very significant uprisings. I mean, they have something like 10,000 demonstrations a year, but if they see some and a lot of most of them are not reported. China is a big place, but yeah, something like 10,000 a year over various issues, right? And so my belief is that they are being a little bit more cautious, not because they're trying to signal Trump on the trade stuff, but because they believe that they need to shore up their, you know, cash position for want of a better word, to deal with possible unrest. The other speculation that I've heard is that this is part that they want to shore up their they want to reduce their allies dramatically because they may be getting ready to push on Taiwan. And when you're going to launch a war, there's a whole lot of prep that has to go into it, and a great deal of it is actually financial. That's something I've heard as well. I'm not seeing any overt signs of this, but it's always a possibility. And this is something that Xi, you know, he keeps talking up the rhetoric. And if Xi believes that the Chinese economy is about to start going over a cliff because of unemployment and inflation and everything else, he may go ahead and decide to try and take Taiwan. And of course, that's a very dangerous situation because of these stupid, ill-advised treaties and entanglements that we have in Asia. So I'm sorry I can't give you a more, factual answer. It's just a lot of speculation on my part, but I hope it's somewhat useful.
Oh, no, that's fair. To be, you know, my hypothesis was pretty speculative anyway. The reason I had that in mind was around December, if I remember correctly, with the Uyghur people that were being thrown into concentration camps and what have you. There was some talk, I think, with the name escapes me. I want to say Manafort. Forgive me if I'm misquoting. But he, you know, there was some talk, some rumblings, I guess, of, you know, putting additional sanctions and, you know, under the guise of human rights violations, you know, to put pressure on the Chinese economy there. And then, here in April, you know, I've seen some, you know, I guess some rumblings that, certain deadlines, certain like diplomatic, deadlines, I guess, for implementing that have kind of come and gone quietly.
So the United States has been using... Yeah. The U.S. has been using the Uyghurs to try to destabilize the Chinese regime for the past 15, 16 years or so. And they've been funding these people covertly. They have been providing them with money, with material support, with technology, communications technology, and that kind of thing. And basically what they were trying to do was to mujahideen the Chinese. And, of course, we all see how well that worked in Afghanistan, right? The thing is, though, that the Chinese... Yeah. The Chinese don't take stuff like that, right? And so the reason that you've been seeing all this stuff in the news about, like, you know, the Chinese crackdown on Christian churches, for example, and, you know, home churches as well as the official churches and so forth, is retaliation. That is directed retaliation from the Chinese government because, you know, the West is still perceived, even though we know that it's not true, of having, you know, a Christian orientation. And so that dynamic has been going on for a while. And the fact that, you know, the Chinese have finally just gotten fed up with this and they're throwing these people into camps. And the other thing, too, is they want to get rid of these people because they need to be able to get those resources and the jobs and everything else for the Han population that they, you know, they are in the midst of trying to demographically alter that entire region and suppress that culture and everything else. And so, yes, I believe that we're not going to see any kind of aggressive human rights stuff from the United States in China, specifically with regards to the Uyghurs. And one thing is that the boomers get agitated too when they start to see this stuff, right? It's, oh, you know, we're helping these Muslims, blah, blah, blah. You know, and it's not our business anyway. Now they're playing a game in Thailand. Thailand has, had long been a United States ally, but they've been moving over the last 5 or 6 years since they had their last coup, I think, like 5 or 6 years ago, if I recall. They've been moving more steadily towards China. And then they have all this political nonsense going on with supposedly an election. It's not really an election. And so the U.S. are starting to put some diplomatic pressure on the Thais, apparently. And that, I believe, is a proxy for pressuring the Chinese. So again, more speculation on my part. That's just what I can tell without benefit of any inside information. So hope it's useful.
That was an excellent answer and more in depth than I was even anticipating. You've outdone yourself. I guess one final question to wrap it up, because I feel like I put out a lot of boring content here by accident. But I guess if
you set off my Asperger's, yeah.
it was a mutual spur triggering, but yeah. So if China is kind of like trying to rectify their balance sheet on a macro scale here by reducing their outlays, possibly like, you know, putting money into more hard assets like they did in Eastern Africa, you know, what would you suggest on the international investing front?
That's an interesting notion. I mean, I've always been kind of a gold bug. In that regard, simply because of the universality.
My gold.
Yeah, exactly. The other thing is oil futures. I think that there's some opportunity there as well, and also wheat futures. The Chinese are working very aggressively to cultivate lots and lots of acres of wheat in Africa. I would take a look at those things very, very specifically. And I'm not talking about appreciation with the oil stuff. I'm talking about depreciation, right, because of the acceleration of the fracking and the fact that we're starting to see a lot of looseness in the oil market because the U.S. is now a net oil exporter. LNG, liquefied natural gas, same kind of thing. I would, again, look at those futures to short those futures as well, because we're now starting to export a lot of LNG to Europe, which is causing problems for Putin, because, you know, that is the lifeline for the Russian government right now, is oil and specifically liquefied natural gas over pipelines to Europe. But it's, okay. Anyway, I'll shut up about now.
Jews are making a very big deal about this tankers starting to show up in Europe. Yep. It's like, oh, we've broken the stranglehold that Vladimir Putin has on the European continent. Fucking.
Yeah, exactly.
All right.
So anyway, again, hope it was useful, and I hope you don't lose your shirt.
Thank you for the call, sir.
See you later.
He already did one more thing.
Thank you guys so much.
You got it, man. Yep. Thank you.
All right.
So, Jazz Hands, I will hand over to you. I'm very excited, but I just want to tease the audience more. I'm reading in our own private Spurg chat here. You have something. We should do.
Yeah, You wanted me to give it to you so that you could roll out.
No, I said Gibbs. I meant Gibbs on the show. I didn't mean Gibbs to me.
Okay.
I mean, I wanted you to say it.
Gibbs link. So not I can Gibbs, not hang Gibbs up on collar yeah, and then but be I, like, look.
But we should drag this out a little bit longer so we're not just Gibbsing it to the audience just yet. We want to really tease them, really suck them in. No, I'm good. I'm just kidding. Right. Just go ahead.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
So this is from a reputable news source, MSN.com, via the Washington Post from 57 minutes ago.
Ah.
apparently back in November. I don't know if this is still alive. I hope it is. There are things I like about this. See, we were talking before about creative policy proposals. There are things I like about this creativity because it's a great troll, but it has unintended consequences. But here it is. White House proposed releasing immigrant detainees from catch and release into sanctuary cities, targeting political foes. White House officials have tried to pressure U.S. immigration authorities to release detainees onto the streets of sanctuary cities to retaliate against President Trump's political adversaries, according to Homeland Security officials in email messages obtained by The Washington Post. Admin officials have proposed transporting immigrants to these cities at least twice in the past 6 months, once in November as the migrant caravan approached the southern border, and again in February amid a standoff with Democrats over funding for the border wall. One of the top targets was San Francisco because of Nancy Pelosi. But, you know, I like it as a troll. I don't like it because once they're in the sanctuary city, then they can fucking just go wherever they want. But I do like the idea of Greyhound buses just unloading with shitskins in like the middle of Georgetown would just be fantastic. Yeah. Just drop them off right on M Street, you know, drop them off in Santa Monica. Like I think it's hilarious. But, you know, if they want to do this for a short period of time while they get the detention centers set up, if that's the way that they're going about it. I mean, I don't like the idea of catch and release at all, but if you have to do it and you have no other choice while you're waiting to do something else, fucking dump them in the middle of like these
dump
neighborhoods.
Dump them where it's already a liberal lost cause, if anything. Like, I mean, one of the biggest problems, like this strategy they've been doing is making sure that, like, you know, obviously like Somalians in Minnesota, you know, let's make sure that these immigrants get to places that are white strongholds and stuff like that.
Yeah, well, exactly. Like, if you have to put these people on a Greyhound bus, why wouldn't you look at the electoral map? I mean, Democrats are looking at the electoral map in terms of bringing these people in.
Right.
Why wouldn't you look at the electoral map and say, we're going to put all these people in New York and California and places that don't fucking matter.
Don't like, fucking let them stay in Texas. Like, Texas, no. Like, let's stop that
Iowa,
fucking process.
Iowa, Nebraska, don't let them fucking shit these places up. I mean... Yeah, so I like the creativity of this idea as a very temporary solution that would probably get results if it was targeted in the right way. You know, dumping these shitskins on the steps of City Hall in San Francisco. Do it. Anyway.
Sounds good to me.
Yeah.
So, let's see what else we got here. All right, good. The show's recording. I was just making sure. I don't know why.
Yeah.
Every now and then I get nervous and I look at it. I haven't seen my mixer for a while. Let's see, who else is on the phone? Oh, no. The Rock was there, now he's gone. That's not good. I was about to check my email for a bit. Let's see, TradLife wants to talk about Assange. What do you got for us, bud?
Allahu Akbar.
Quickly. Allahu Akbar.
Allahu Akbar. Spen, they came for our guns, but they're still in our hands. God is great as Muhammad is his prophet. I called about Julian Assange.
Yes.
Because he's a hero. You guys covered it very well.
Good.
You completely covered the bases. I think the
thanks for the approval. That's great.
All right, let's hang up then. Okay.
Oh, yeah. Hey Jess, will you be my beach friend?
Sounds really gay, actually. You're not supposed to ask another dude if they want to be your beach friend.
No homo, Jazz.
I mean, the thing about beach friends, you just become beach friends. There's no official courtship. It just
there's
happens.
No pronouncement. Of
it just happens naturally, man. It's organic. I'm an organic beach friend.
Okay. All right. Well, I like to be really, you know... never mind. Okay, I think it's a deflection. I think Assange is a deflection from A1 because he's the one who had control over the House, the House chambers, and I think the whole Congress's email system, and he took off to Pakistan, and he was extradited. Now he's like in jail, but they were giving him bribes not to tell or not to give out the information. So I think everything that leaked was through A1, And nobody, it never comes up. It never came up. Never comes up because it was a Democrat scandal. Him and his like whole family were like running this like operation of basically, you know, had a hammer over, like a mafia has a hammer over you or whatever, however that saying goes. They had an extortion lock on the Democrats because he was their IT guy. And so, yeah. Anyways, so they were paying a lot of money, but he had access to all the files and like, et cetera, et cetera. So I think, yeah, WikiLeaks Assange, he's sort of an independent, like he's the Switzerland of the intelligence agency. He's like a neutral party. And so he helped the Democrats. He helped Republicans. He's helped everybody like throughout the years. He's been around for a long time, but he only became huge in 2016 because with the meme war, we were the power of the memes. He was the intelligence. Like, you know, we didn't come up with this stuff. We don't know anything. We only know whatever comes up on our internets. So it just happens that some really genius guys like Moik and yourself and Jazz and Halberstam and, you know, now we have Ethnark and all these other characters who are extremely talented and curious and smart with, you know, leading us, the pedestrian army of the meme war of 2016, the lead up to and even all that stuff. We're armed with the information of people like Assange, and then like with the craftiness of everybody's collective efforts from the 4chans and the Chans and the Murdoch people who borrow from that, and like, but they're their own force. I think they are a force to be reckoned with. Like that's top. They're like the top meme creators of all time. Anyway, I think it's a deflection from A1. I think it's a total deflection from A1. This guy's he is a hero, and I hope he gets, and Trump better do something, or I am unironically supporting Eric Swalwell for the acceleration national gun ban. Swalwell. Let's get these right boomer, let's get the boomer waffen in a really defensive crouched position, have to defend their guns, and let's get this party started.
Right on. Trad Life, everyone. Thank you, sir, for the call. So we're going to be getting out of here in a minute.
Yes, sir. Yes,
we'll talk
sir.
To you again soon.
I have more news. I have more news.
Oh, you have more news? You're my
news friend. Give me more news.
I have some news.
Give me more
news. Do you want to be my news friend?
We're news friends. Okay. We're news friends. Yeah.
So I saw that somebody in the comments, said that the IMF approved a $4.2 billion loan for Ecuador right after Assange was arrested. I looked it up. It was a couple weeks before, but still there's a quid pro quo here. The International Monetary Fund on Monday approved a $4.2 billion 3-year loan for Ecuador, part of a broader aid package to help support the government's economic reform. Very interesting.
This would never be coincidental at all.
Oh, no, this guy's right. It was Monday morning. Oh, no, this is Monday from like 3 weeks ago. Sorry, I cut you off. But they got their first cast infusion of $652 million just now. So.
Oh, boy. I can't. It's just, what a coincidence.
So coincidental.
The Lord works in mysterious ways.
He does.
That's all I can say. The volcano
demon. Then he wipes his greasy hands on his pants, apparently.
There was a hot take in the comments before the show started I wanted to read to you before we go. Because apparently...
Was it, how do I listen to this show live?
No, I mean, don't make fun. I mean, apparently there's a problem with this radio player on. I don't know what it is, but certain devices it doesn't render the whatever the fuck this shit is. You need to use like Chrome or something. I don't know. I'm sorry, I didn't realize, but people have this problem with the spinning beach ball deal. But anyway, super hot take. This is from Yang Banger. I believe he called last time. Yang Banger. I believe we spoke to him on the phone recently. Super hot take.
I don't know if I like this sock very much.
Yang Banger? Yang. You don't like Yang Banger? Yang Banger?
Oh, like a headbang, like a headbanger. I'm thinking
Yang Bang. Like it's Andrew Yang, but they're gonna have a gangbang with the Yang Bags. I don't know.
Oh,
anyway,
okay. Yeah,
anyway,
that's cool.
he says super hot take. Ivanka is the shiksa behind the curtain. She's blackmailing Dolan with an incest Me Too. And even Jared is a pawn. Don Jr. is the oldest child, but he's been exiled. And remember how she took over the office traditionally designated for the first lady? Remember how she successfully convinced Charles that she could be Jewy enough for them. Just some things make you go, oy vey. Very hot take. What do you think? Are we looking at a father-daughter Me Too accusation?
There's some really weird behavior with Donald directed toward Ivanka, like really creepy, questionable behavior.
If she wasn't my daughter, I might be dating her. Oh my God, she's hot.
Yeah,
the ass.
Yeah,
on there.
Apparently he got her a boob job when she was a teenager.
Perfect.
Yeah, a boob job and then a nose job. She got the boob job before the nose job. And I have photos.
Yikes.
That somebody sent. They're really bad.
It's really one of those fucking hatchet beaks.
It's really horrific. Look at that.
It's like that nose in Spaceballs. Dr. Schlotkin, do your worst. Anybody? No? Just me. It's just me.
Oh, good. I haven't seen that movie in a long time.
Yeah, I think there's definitely something odd. I mean, the comments, but like Ivanka herself says, and this could very well be a cover. She says in the book that Trump does it to just get people's reaction. But it's like, okay, like there are other funny trolls to just see how people react other than like, hey, baby, you so hot to like your fucking daughter. So I don't really buy the whole. I think she just says that to fucking sort of give him an out, but it's really not. It's really a really disgusting thing. I don't know why he thinks it's funny, but it's definitely like sick boomer humor.
Fun.
Do you see the photo of her nose before and after?
Oh, it's now really I see it. It wasn't coming in before. Yeah.
Yeah.
Poor thing.
Yeah, she looks like Donald in the picture on the left.
Yeah. I mean, it's still just like. I mean, if she grows out of the awkward phase, it might be all right. You never know. But whatever, you know, why live with that? Why live with that if you don't have to, right? It's fine. What are you going to do? Well, so let me check my email one more time because Rock's not on the phone.
Let me ask this because I sort of posed this question about immigration with like how many people actually follow the rules and come in legally and do everything they're supposed to. It's like a very small number. When was the last time we've actually had a live Rock Bit at 7 o'clock or at 10 o'clock? I mean,
didn't we have one last time?
Oh, we did.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah.
I remember because we replayed it on the show.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah,
but before that, it was like a succession of every other week. Like, no, sorry, fam, coming up dry.
Yeah, I don't know what happened. He was on hold at the beginning of the show, and it said Rock the Bit, and now he's gone.
And you're right. I apologize. There was a bit the last time.
I got to tell you, I am absolutely fucking tuckered out with this. The last remaining vestige of my cold is just being like ready to go to bed at 8 p.m. like every night. It's terrible. That's all that's left. Not coughing, not sneezing, no more. No more snot face. No more throats on fire. You know what I did though? I actually went to the gym today, and I went to a gym. I joined a gym. I told you about that, right?
Was this Platinum's gym? Platinumberg's gym?
Yeah, Platinum gym. It was Diamond gym. It was good. I only had one like autistic antisocial foul up of not being used to being in like a giant room filled with weights and other people using them. It was one of those squat racks. You know, like they have the one, it's not one of the square ones. It's the one that like curves forward. So as you walk into it, you can walk into it to put the bar back. You know what I'm saying? Anyway.
Yeah.
So, and then it had a bunch of the, you know, plate holders sticking out of the rack itself. And there was a barbell on it. So in this gym, for whatever reason, like 25 pound plates, There's just none. I can't find any, and I'm trying to load up a bar. You know, the easy bar. I'm trying to load it up to do skull crushers, and I needed a couple 25s, and I can't fucking find one. But I walk towards that squat rack, and I'm just seeing like there's four fucking piles of plates sticking off of it. Right. So I see, oh, there's a 25, and I grab it, and I feel this like tap on my shoulder, and I turn around like, oh, and I've got earbuds in. He's like, oh, there's one, and turns out, like, I grabbed the 25 plate off the barbell that some guy had just set up to do squats with. He's like, that's mine. I'm like, I didn't know what to do. was like, I'm sorry. I saw a metal structure with all kinds of plates on it, and and in my head, there's nobody here but me. So I'm sorry. I just wanted to leave at that point. It's terrible.
Poor guy.
But I got to do my overhead presses standing up, though.
That's good.
That's the whole reason I joined. Like, I'm going to go one day a week and do my shoulders.
So, do you have to get a spotter at all for any of the stuff you're doing there, or can you just go by yourself, no problem?
Oh, yeah, you can't get spotted on shoulders. I didn't do anything required spotting today.
No, I mean some of the other stuff you do there. Like, if you go by yourself, do you have somebody with you, or?
No, I just go. I usually just do it here, and I don't need a spotter here because I have my bench, my rack has the safety arms.
Yeah,
for
you
benching.
Don't need it there. Yeah, you don't need it there, yeah.
But I guess if I go, I guess at the gym, they don't have those bars on the fucking racks. I guess I need a buddy, somebody that I might, maybe I'll just bench at home. I don't know. Like, I like to use all the different, I want to use all the different machines they have for like all the extra shit. You know, like I don't have like a lat pull down here or anything. So I use the dip machine. That was great. I love the dip machine today. But it's like all these, there's so many of these machines, like I don't know what the fuck they do. And I also don't want to talk to anybody. So I don't want to ask them what they do. So I'm kind of just paying.
You don't want to be that guy either.
Yeah.
Like, what does this do?
Well, I'm just paying to make my lifting like more inconvenient. It's kind of like my thing with vinyl. It's like I've made listening to music more inconvenient. Why not make lifting weights more inconvenient? I'll go to a gym where there's all this stuff I could do if I knew how to do it, but I don't. So, and I'm autistic. And I'm blasting like death metal in my earbuds. I don't want to take them out and be like, well, how did this work? Oh, that does legs? That's gay. Never mind. And just like move on. I swear to God, if anybody does that leg press bit where their knees go backwards, I'm just gonna throw up on the floor. Have you ever seen that? Have you ever seen this shit? Somebody leg presses 400 pounds and then locks their knees and, oh, guess what? Guess what happens when you lock your knees doing the leg press, fam? Fun videos. You become a YouTube star.
I don't
want
to see these videos.
No, people, you know, I probably shouldn't put that out there, that this is like how you prank Sven, send him gross stuff, because it just, I can't handle it. But anyway, I think I filibustered through, we're over 90 minutes now, we can stop. I'm sorry, that's my lifting story, my bad lifting story is going to have to stand in for this week's rock bit, because we don't have one. Maybe next week. Guys, thank you for the great show as always, Ethnarch, Jazz. Thank you, Jaya, for screening the calls. And thank you, callers, and sorry to the callers we did not get to. Can't get to everybody. It happens. Ethnarch, it doesn't work if you send me a text message that says, thank you for having me on the show.
Yeah, you're supposed to say it.
Thank you for having me on the show.
Thank you, audience. All right, boys. You guys have a pleasant weekend. We'll see you on the paywall tedious tomorrow. And Fascination featuring the one and the only Mike Enoch this weekend to talk about Jared Kushner. Or Kushner,
that's
Inc.,
right.
I should say. So that'll be an interesting Fascination where I don't know if you're going to get to hear Jazz and Halberstam at all, but tune in anyway, just in case they get a word in. We'll see you then.
Means I don't have to do any prep.
Exactly.
I don't have to do any prep.
I know. You're all set, bud. Welcome to my world.
Yep. Yeah.